1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you had believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren. Repeat that with me, 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due season. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Repeat that after me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then if you would go with me to verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now is Christ risen from the dead. I believe that this year, this message has a greater fervency in my heart than at any other time that we have ever preached. And I love the seasonal preaching. I love to preach about the birth of Christ. Really, I suppose I rejoice more in the resurrected Christ, because we have that behind us now. And we're going on to the real ultimate mission of the church. But as I look into this portion of God's Word, I don't feel complicated today. I feel very simplistic. And I'd just like to just go to the heart of the matter. But now is Christ risen from the dead. All the Bible prophecies spoken concerning the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has never been more timely than today. People are taking a second look at what they thought could never happen in our generation. Our generation has had it very easy. In fact, America's had it very easy for a long time. I'm not criticizing that. But sometimes we forget the price that has been paid, even for our own nation to be free. 9/11 was a wake-up call. And if anyone had any sensitivity at all, that wake-up call touched them from the tip of their head to the soles of their feet. Hardened people of the world began to help and give and act in love. And all of a sudden on the news media, you heard about God and Jesus Christ. You heard it on CNN. You heard it on Fox. You heard it on all major networks that if you need help, consult your local church, clergyman, synagogue. I haven't heard that before nor since on CNN, nor Fox, nor any of the others. For that window, people began to realize, let's get back to basics. Get back to what started all of this that we know as the United States of America. We look at our world today. How in the world could these things be? One well-published writer, a scholar, an attorney, a professor of Harvard, made this statement that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is far more documented than the fact that Alexander the Great lived on this earth. Now that was his statement. I'll leave that statement as it is. Far more documented. He didn't say the birth or the life. He said the resurrection. The fact that Jesus is alive. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And he had many reasons to agree with that, and I certainly concur with that. with all of my heart. If the Bible teaches anything about Jesus and Christianity, it's the first thing that I bring to you, that Christ died for all of our sins. You know, the greatest fear we have is not of Holocaust or terrorism or an automobile accident or the worst happening. On a slow day with you, the worst fear that you'll ever have is that Christ did not die for all your sins. Because if he did not die for all of your sins, you're in trouble. It was not a 90% atonement. It was not a 95% atonement or a 99, 44, and 100% atonement. Christ died for all of our sins. Now, when you feel just real super spiritual, then it's easy to look down on others and wonder about their sins. But I think the message that comes to all of us today, we need to sing it, we need to shout it, we need to live it. My mother used to sing this song years ago, "Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sins." There's no such thing as a big sin and a little sin. One bullet will take you out. And those of us that had more than one bullet were playing Russian roulette with the grace of God. Thank God for that night when my heart said yes to Jesus and asked for the forgiveness of every sin. And my life has never been the same since then. Christ died for all of my sins, past, present, and future. I want to say that again. Christ died for all of my sins, your sins, past, present, and future. And those that go into eternity without Christ will go with the forgiveness in an account that was never used. The blood of Jesus avails for every sin that was ever committed. You receive it by faith. For all my sins, Jesus was offered up once. He'll never be offered up again. I remember being in Mexico many years ago with my father-in-law, and we were there for a crusade. And my memory escapes me on that occasion that happens, and I believe it happens once a year. And I saw something that I had never seen in my lifetime. I saw throngs of people, maybe 10 or 12 deep in the crowd, crawling on their hands and knees on cobblestone streets, crawling on their hands and knees. I saw bloody knees. I saw bloody hands to kiss the statue of Peter, trying and believing some way that there could be forgiveness of sins. Oh, when I saw that, it's a memory that I cannot get away from. You could crawl on your hands and knees from here to Los Angeles if that was possible, and it would not forgive one sin that you've ever committed. You don't have to crawl on your hands and knees. You don't have to be a martyr. You don't have to do some of the things that some people think you have to do. All you have to do is with all of your heart say yes to the finished work of Calvary, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for all of my sins, past, present, and future. There's another fear that haunts many a believer. It's that God loves other people more than he loves me. I want you to know, my friend, that God loves you unconditionally, and that God loves you, period. Get that in your spirit. God loves you unconditionally, and God loves you, period. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained that you bring forth much fruit." Before the foundations of the world, the Ephesian letter tells us that we were chosen. And God loves us. God's mercy and God's grace, again, is why we're all here today. By the grace of God, Paul said, "I am what I am." We were chosen before the foundation of the earth. This morning, I haven't thought about it in years, but an incident came to me. I was just brand new in following Jesus. An incident happened. I don't even care to go into it, but I thought about it this morning. My whole life could be totally different than what it is today. It was not that I did not love God. It was not that I had not met Jesus as my personal Savior, but something happened and a decision was almost made. And that's why we have to watch it. We can't afford the luxury of going off in traffic or in person or wherever we may be, because somebody else is waiting to go off on you. And I'll go no further with it, but I remember that night, nothing made any difference. It was a young man with a temper, and I'd been wronged, and it was going to be made right. It seems so stupid, so foolish. I don't even like to mention it, except maybe it helps somebody here today. Thank God all of the years that I've been serving Jesus and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ could have gone out the window with just doing something stupid. Oh, the grace of God. Oh, the grace of God that called my heart back just in time. Folks, I think there's a few others that'd like to stand in line for testimony this morning. We are what we are by the grace of God. And some of you have not lived a sinful life, or you don't have the testimony that some people have. But let me tell you, you need to thank God every day for the grace of God. You know, the resurrection teaches us that Jesus cares about all of our needs. Remember how Jesus appeared, ate with them, communed with them, said, "Children, have you any meat?" Does God care about our lives? Yes. God cares about our life, and God cares about the details of our life. Philippians 4:19 said, "But my God shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus." Did you know that God meeting your need is tied in to the riches of Christ Jesus and His great love for you? Now, the real Easter story really is tied into this, that Jesus is alive. You say, "Is Osama bin Laden alive or dead?" I'll tell you one way he's dead, if he's still alive, because he hasn't trusted Christ as his personal Savior. One day he will, we will, all of us will go into eternity. But Jesus is not here. He is risen. And if you think of all that went into it, for a prisoner of Rome to escape meant the lives of many, many soldiers. And they took very seriously the guarding of a political situation like this. This was not a casual, sleepy jailer outside the jail. These were soldiers. These men were alert. They were taught how to handle emergencies. And they were taught that no one steals the body away. And that's why the powers that be, even the religious powers, they paid people lest we make a worse mistake in the end than was made in the beginning. Well, thank God the Bible teaches us that Christianity is not a religion of hate. This year has really defined some things. First of all, we find out what a religion of hate is all about. I don't think I fully understood. I don't think any of us understand what a religion of hate is all about. But Christianity is not a religion of hate. It is not a religion of racial bigotry or racism. It's not a religion of murder or terrorism. Christianity is a religion of faith and hope and love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. Yes, we defend ourselves and our families and our nation. No apology for that. But oh, as we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, when Peter cut the ear, really he meant to get his head. Peter was just a little off that day. He'd been out of practice. But when Peter severed that part of the ear, Jesus reached down miraculously and put that ear back in place. Do you think that soldier could ever forget that? You see a piece of your body on the ground and now it's back on your body again. Something about that would remind you every day of your life that this man must have truly been, and of course we know is, the Son of God. You've heard it over and over again. By the grace of God, I'll go back. I would personally not be afraid to go back to Israel today. I just, I know there's a timing in these things, and the timing has not been right when you have others that you're responsible for. But when you come out of that tomb and of all the things you see in Israel, that just seems so right to me. And when you come out on the backside of the door as you're leaving, he is not here, he is risen. Thanks be unto God. We don't have soldiers guarding the bones or the tomb of a linen or a whoever it might be. They'll never find what was left because he's not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. And as this Harvard professor said, who had written extensively and studied extensively the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, he said there's more documented evidence concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ than ever of that of Alexander the Great. You know, there's something else that comes into my heart. The story of Easter teaches us there's hope regardless of your circumstances. You see, as a pastor, I know the story behind the story in a few of your lives. Don't get nervous. I'm not disclosing anything today. And one thing that I do love about pastoring is over the years, we received some very kind cards. I remember one young lady that came to this church as broken and as bruised as a young lady could come in. Life had been harsh. She had been raised in a hotbed of legalism. She knew how to get saved, but she didn't know how to walk in the grace of God. And I watched her going through so many times and seasons. And I watched the Word of God begin to grow in her life. And I saw confidence begin to come, and then tragedy came. But now she had enough of God's Word that tragedy did not destroy her. She just kept coming to the house of God. She just kept reading the Word of God. And now the message comes. Many years have come and gone. We've seen this church come through many transitions. But she said, the message that I've heard in this house has given me life, and it's given me hope, and it's kept me from giving up in impossible circumstances. Because that's what the Word of God is all about. See, folks, the Word of God is not all about who lives and who dies. It's not all about how everything turns out like I want it to turn out. Everybody has a different idea about the tornado. One day we'll let God explain it all to us. But I'm on the victory side of this thing. I said, I'm on the victory side of this thing. Thursday night was not a time of sadness and mourning and doom and gloom. We rejoiced and we thanked God for His faithfulness on the second year anniversary of that storm that took our old building out for all practical purposes. It took it out. There is hope regardless of your circumstances. That's not religious talk. That's not preacher talk. That's reality. When someone slams the door on your life and hopelessness tries to take over, you don't have to buy into that. When you come to death's door and Satan says, you've had it, you don't have to buy into that, because we've learned that the first report is not the last report. And the last report is not the last report when your faith is in God. Thanks be unto God. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds tomorrow. Life is worth the living. Thank God, because Jesus lives. So have you lost something? Have you lost a job or a companion or money or health or income or whatever? It's just stuff. It's just temporary stuff. I called back from out of the city, and one of our couples on staff, wife had had an accident. And I was ready to console him. Thank God there was no physical harm. And he said, oh, Pastor, it's just stuff. It's just stuff. And I thought, oh, God, give us that revelation. Life, everything but Jesus is just stuff. And he said, we can get another vehicle, but God's preserved life. And he was rejoicing in the positive side of that. Two things I want to share with you as we look into this precious Easter story. Thank God we have the unquestioned, overwhelming victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been accused of being too optimistic. In fact, someone left recently. They said, you're just too positive. You're too optimistic. Well, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of folks that seem to need that. And it helps me too. I'll tell you, I grew up with enough doom and gloom to last me for a millennium. And I believe people need to hear that God loves you, period. And there is hope, and there is a tomorrow. And then when folks walk out, God walks in. And when your home seems to just, everything seems to fall apart, it doesn't mean that God has left town and has an unlisted number. We have the overwhelming victory. I very seldom make mention of this because we don't need sympathy. Sometimes people think, well, that's easy for you to preach. Yet the last 3 or 4 years, we faced the greatest faith challenges of our life. I thought it'd be easy at this time in my life. The faith challenges are stronger. And every day, we're in the process of seeing a miracle and receiving a miracle. But as many of you know, we have a precious daughter at home that's under nurse's care 24 hours a day. Precious girl, loves God with all of her heart. You think it's easy for me to come out here and preach like I preach? If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't do it. My hope is that there's a bright tomorrow. It's the same kind of stuff that'll bring you through a tornado. Life is not always easy, but God's grace is sufficient. We don't put our sad story on someone else because it's not a sad story. God's bringing us out and God's bringing us through. The precious caregivers have been one of the greatest miracles that we've ever seen. All these years we've been known as a church and a people that help people. And to see God bring help in our time of need. And there's days when I have to lean so heavy on the grace of God, and I know joy does too. And it seems like we have more to do now than we ever have. But there's hope and there's victory. And there's hope. And so, I mean, don't give me that, well, preacher, that's easy for you to preach. I mean, we've had some things to come through the last 3 or 4 years. But I'm here to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. This is not slick copy. This is not just what a preacher ought to say. This is not just what we say on Sunday morning. But there's times we've come before you, it took everything that was within us to come, to minister, to preach. I can't explain it, but there's something about it. I was like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't understand. Maybe you don't have a house you love, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. A building? No, it's not the building. It's the presence of God, and it's you, and it's the grace of God and the mercy. When we walk into a refuge of hope and love and forgiveness. And even Thursday night when we see someone who needed some help, this church has such a big heart. That's what the gospel is all about. There is victory. Overwhelming victory. Well, it didn't come this week. Looking for it on Monday. Looking for it this week. What if it doesn't come this week? I'll be looking next week. Abraham's child did not come immediately. Part of it was because Abraham and Sarah got in the way. And you can snicker if you want to, but the whole world's in turmoil today because man and woman did it their way. I am so sick of man's ways. I'm sick of man's ideas. I say, God, give me your ideas. But you know, in spite of all their failures, if I was God, I'm just glad I'm not God because, you know, aren't you? I'm glad you're not God too. We'd all be in trouble. But you know, in spite of this, Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael, in spite of all of this, one day God said, Abraham, I have a word for you. Isaac's coming. Isaac is coming. And I want to tell you today, it's a message that I'll bring in the future. Get ready. Isaac is coming. You thought Ishmael was something? God loves Ishmael. God loved Ishmael then. God made ample provision for Ishmael. But Isaac's coming. The best is yet to come. And I think the final thing that we share here is that we have a life to live and a message to give. Go and tell. Come and see. Go and tell. Come and see. Go and tell. God's speaking to hearts and lives today. Folks, let's be witnesses as never before. When you're tired, you're weary, and you've had a long day. I was flying back, and I thought, well, I just want to read, and you know, I just want to be quiet for a while. But there was a lady next to me. She was wealthy by her trappings, the jewelry, and you could tell other things too. But she had such great needs in her life. And I found myself putting my feelings aside. And one thing led to another, and we started talking about Jesus. And I was able to pray with her before that flight was over. You know, sometimes we're tired, we're weary. It's kind of like, leave me alone, go away. You know, just, I need my space. But oh, let's be sensitive to the people that God sends into our lives. Let's be sensitive. Let's be loving. Let's remember to take that extra moment that it takes to remind someone that God loves you. I remember a Baptist minister in a conference a number of years ago when our church started to grow, and we went to that conference. It wasn't a Holy Spirit conference, but it helped us in many ways of excellence. He was talking about a waitress, and he said everything she did seemed to be wrong. She got the order wrong. She was short. She flared up and said a thing or two that she probably shouldn't have said working in the public. And then she spilled something, and you know, it was just, the whole thing was a fiasco. And when they left, he left a tip on the table that was about five times what it should have been. And as he walked to the cashier to check out, she came running and said, "Sir, you left this on the table." He said, "That's your tip." And she broke down and began to weep. She said, "I'm not worthy of this." He said, "None of us are worthy." And he was able to lead her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my, my. Oh, I tell you, the tip that God's left on the table, the blessing that God has left on the table, the mercy, the grace, the second, third, fourth, fifth, hundredth, thousandth, millionth chance that God's given us. There's no way to say thank you enough just to come to church on an Easter and say thank you, Lord. One of our precious couples called. Said, "I remember a song that my chaplain father used to sing. He's Lieutenant Colonel, Air Force. He loved to sing it. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's pilgrim way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Praise be unto the Lord." Folks, he's alive today. Church, take heart. Be encouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. We all have to face this. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes you think, does anyone want to hear any song I have to sing? Sometimes you think I've said everything that could be said in the Bible. But oh, he lives. And there's one more person out there waiting to hear about Jesus in your life.